In our broadcast yesterday, we were continuing to investigate what the Bible has to say about the great questions of life and death which face every one of us. A hopeful attitude towards the future is a great blessing for any of us. That is why it's only common sense that we should explore the Bible to see what it tells us about our destiny as human beings. Jesus, you know, spent hours of his teaching ministry instructing the people about what God expects of us. He spoke constantly about how we should seek to become immortal beings by being brought back from the dead at the resurrection. We Christians believe that Jesus himself has already been made alive from the dead. We are sure of that on the evidence of the apostles who, as they said, ate and drank with Jesus after he came alive from the dead. You will find that statement in the New Testament in Acts 10, verse 41. The apostles reported that, and I quote, God woke Jesus up from the dead on the third day and made him appear, not to all the people, but to appointed witnesses. Acts 10, verse 40. I would like you to pay particular attention to the way in which the apostles of Jesus spoke about resurrection. They called it a waking up from the sleep of death. 70 times in the New Testament, the Greek word eiro, as modern Greeks pronounce it, is used to describe resurrection. The word simply means to wake up. That, of course, implies that the condition before the resurrection is one of sleep. Sleep is a beautiful way to describe the state of the dead. Throughout the Bible, the dead, good and bad, are said to be asleep. In earlier programs, we covered fairly extensively the many Old Testament references to death as sleep. I will remind you now of just three passages. Job said this about the destiny of man. Man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not arise. Until the heavens be no more, he will not awake, nor be aroused out of his sleep. Then Job asked this question, if a man dies, will he live? That is, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait, until my change comes. You, that is God, will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. You will find that instructive passage in Job chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. David said in one of his psalms, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. Psalm 3, verse 5. There he was talking about his daily experience in this life. But when David spoke of death, he used exactly the same words. He asked God to preserve his life, lest he, and I quote, sleep the sleep of death. Psalm 13, verse 3. Daniel also described death as a condition of sleep. Listen to these wonderful words in Daniel 12, verse 2. Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground will awake, some to life in the coming age. It really is impossible to avoid the simple fact that death in the Bible is a kind of unconscious sleep and that resurrection is the reversal of that condition, the coming back into the excitement of life and friends and activity. So if you love life and don't want to die, what can you do? Quite simply, dedicate yourself to the study of the teachings of Jesus. Follow his instructions to be baptized, that is, immersed in water, and believe his gospel about the kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 is the beginning of Jesus' teaching and a beautiful summary of all he taught. Jesus is the one whom God has appointed to wake people up from the dead in the future. He alone can bring you up out of the sleep of death. What a friend we have in Jesus, the hymn says. I should say so. You could not have a more wonderful friend than one who first died instead of you and then can actually pull you back from death and give you endless life and activity. That is the heart of the Christian faith. The Bible says that we're going to die. Death is the predictable event which you cannot put in your diary. But Jesus has pioneered the way to overcome death. He came back from the dead. And if you now prepare by serving him, he will bring you one day out of death. That great event has been written down in Daniel 12, verse 2. I make no apology for repeating it. Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground will awake. That tells you what the dead are doing, sleeping, and where they're doing it, in the ground. A friend of mine expressed some surprise that I would be teaching a view of death which he was not used to hearing. You know, truth can be stranger than fiction. I myself was very surprised when many years ago I first investigated the biblical view about death and resurrection. But I was encouraged in my search by the words of the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther. Here are some more of his sayings about what happens when we die. I quote, "We Christians," Martin Luther said, "should train and accustom ourselves in faith to despise death and regard it as a deep, strong, sweet sleep, to consider the coffin as nothing other than a soft couch of ease or rest. As truly before God, it is just this. Jesus testified," Martin Luther said, "Lazarus, our friend, sleeps, but I go that I may awaken him out of his sleep." John 11:11. Then Luther pointed to Matthew 9:24, where Jesus said about a dead young girl, "The maiden is not dead, but is sleeping," and he woke her up. Here are some more words of Luther, the Protestant reformer, about what happens when we die. "After death, the soul goes to its bedchamber and to its peace, and while it is sleeping, it does not realize its sleep. We should learn to view our death," Luther said, "in the right light, so that we need not become alarmed on account of it as unbelief does, because in Christ it is indeed not death, but a fine, sweet, and brief sleep, which brings us release from this veil of tears, and we shall rest securely and without care, rest sweetly and gently for a brief moment as on a sofa, until the time when he shall call and awaken us together with all his dear children. For since we call death a sleep, we know that we shall not remain in it, but be awakened and live, and at that time, and that time rather during which we sleep, shall seem no longer than if we had just fallen asleep." Finally, Luther said, "Scripture everywhere affords such consolation and speaks of the saints as if they fell asleep and were gathered to their fathers. That is, they had overcome death through this faith and comfort in Christ and awaited the resurrection together with the saints who preceded them in death." I really think that there can be no doubt that Martin Luther fully endorsed the biblical idea that death is like sleep and that resurrection is like waking up. There's no need to confuse this simple biblical pattern by introducing the idea that souls never die and that people are immediately conscious and active the moment they die. That scheme would mean that the future resurrection of the dead would be virtually pointless. If you can attain to glory the moment you die, why in the world would you have to be resurrected in the future? It makes no sense at all. You may like to know that the great William Tyndale, who was martyred for his faith, and who accomplished the marvelous task of translating the New Testament into plain English for the public, ran into opposition from the established church precisely on the issues we've been discussing. Along with Martin Luther, Tyndale also went on record to oppose the popular idea that the dead depart to heaven as disembodied souls. The English political leader Sir Thomas More had objected to Luther's teaching that, and I quote, "all souls die and sleep till the judgment day," end of quotation. Here are the remarkable words of Tyndale as he sought to prove his understanding about death and the resurrection from the Bible. He said this, "You church leaders, by putting departed souls in heaven, hell, and purgatory, destroy the arguments by which Christ and Paul prove the resurrection. The true faith speaks of the resurrection, which we are warned to expect at every moment. The heathen philosophers, denying the resurrection, said that souls cannot die. And the Pope joins the spiritual doctrine of Christ and the fleshly doctrine of philosophers together, things so contrary that they cannot agree, no more than the spirit and the flesh do in a Christian man. And because the Pope agrees to heathen doctrine, he corrupts the scripture to establish it. Again, if souls go to heaven, tell me why they are not in as good condition as the angels, and if so, what possible reason is there for the future resurrection?" End of quotation from William Tyndale. Like Martin Luther, Tyndale denied that there was such a thing in the Bible as purgatory. He also denied that the Virgin Mary was able to intercede for humankind, since she was asleep in death, not with God in heaven. Tyndale insisted that doctrine should be based on the Bible only, and so this first English reformer, agreeing with the German Martin Luther, insisted that the great central doctrine of the resurrection of all the dead in the future was seriously undermined by the traditional medieval idea that souls can survive the moment they die. It will be of interest to our listeners to reflect on how faithfully we have followed the teaching either of Jesus or the Protestant reformers Luther and Tyndale on this basic issue of what happens when we die. It would seem that many of us are unconsciously following a tradition which the reformers refuse to believe. Sometimes even the teaching about the sleep of the dead is said to belong with the cults. That really is incredible. One would have then to accuse Luther and Tyndale of being members of a cult. And surely that would hardly be fair when they labored to restore biblical teaching about the nature of man and the condition of man in death. The facts of history and the Bible speak loud to us on these basic questions. They can be verified by consulting two most interesting volumes called The Conditionalist Faith of Our Fathers, written in 1965 by Edwin Froom. Contact us if you would like further information for your own study. Tradition unexamined is never a safe guide to the teaching of the Bible. Things are not true simply because they are repeated constantly. A wise Christian is one who takes responsibility for checking his beliefs in the Bible, just as the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17. We read that they examined the scriptures daily to see if what they were hearing about the Christian faith was true. Bible study is an exciting and revealing activity. We owe it to ourselves and to our families to be informed about the great questions of life and death. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Join us again as we explore questions relating to the destiny of man and our future hope of living forever. Until next time, may God bless you in your search for truth.